The one-month countdown to the biggest church event to take place in Ireland since Blessed John Paul II's visit in 1979 has begun and is being marked with a special mass celebrated by the new papal nuncio, Archbishop Charles Brown, that will be broadcast live to the nation on Sunday, May 6th. In conjunction with the final countdown, the IEC 2012 organizers have also launched a free iPhone and iPad app. Using 21st century technology, the app gives pilgrims from all over the world the opportunity to experience Congress.
Developing apps for the iPhone is just one of the, experiments to see if that is a way that we can actually connect with people or help them in discovering their faith.
It was designed exclusively for Congress pilgrims by Dutch Dominican friar Luc Dominic Janssen, a former agnostic who found faith and encountered God in Ireland.
When I was brought up, there wasn't much mention of God at all in my life. So I didn't really know about God, and I think that is the situation definitely becoming more and more the situation in a lot of the Western world.
I spoke to Brother Luke about the app and what it can offer to pilgrims, those travelling to Dublin to take part in the event, and those who would like to follow while staying at home, and also about his journey that led him first to Ireland and then to God. Well, we now really only have 1 month to go to the International Eucharistic Congress opening in Dublin, Ireland, the 50th International Eucharist Congress. And one of the news stories that filtered through from Dublin this week was the launch of a new app for iPhones and iPads for all those pilgrims who are going to take part in the experience. The week-long experience, because you must remember it's not just about an opening mass and a closing mass, but it is indeed an action-packed week of catechesis, reflection, prayer and celebration that's going to take place in Dublin. Now, one of the men behind this app is Luke Janssen, who happens to be Brother Luke Janssen, if I'm not mistaken, of the Order of Preachers. Can you tell us, first of all, a little bit about this app?
Yeah, sure. Well, the app is, I suppose, just a tool for pilgrims, but I suppose also for people who might not be able to make it to Dublin this summer, to get information about the Eucharistic Congress and to be able to look up the program and if they have questions, the frequency asked questions section, and general background about the Congress. So they have an easy and convenient way to kind of look it up, because a lot of people nowadays use mobile phones and iPads and those kind of more modern means of communication to actually get in touch, I suppose, with all kinds of things. And so we felt it would be good to try and go with that and create something that will be useful for the people interested in the Congress.
So you can be a pilgrim without actually physically being in Dublin as well?
Everybody has interest in the Congress could follow it to the news feeds or to the website, and also to the app, suppose. That's another means, as it does feature all the news that comes from the Congress, and it also will feature, or it features already, some of the videos made in preparation for the Congress, and also there will be videos there that are going to be made during the Congress.
Will it also feature perhaps streaming of some of the main events, maybe through the radio channels?
There will be some live streaming. Definitely the big events like the first mass and the first mass and the final mass.
The idea behind the app really shows that it's an interactive congress. What was your role in becoming involved in this? Are you a techno freak, as they say? Are you someone who's always been interested in the new forms of communication?
Yeah, I guess to a certain extent. I feel that being a part of the Dominican Order, still a student at the moment, we're trying to kind of look at new ways of communicating, as a lot of the traditional ways of bringing the gospel to people are, it becomes harder, especially here in Ireland, where maybe there's less people going to Mass or less people being involved in prayer meetings. There's still a lot of people who are interested in their faith, and it seems to me that it is important to kind of grow with the rest of society in using modern means of communication. And we put quite an emphasis on trying to use video for that, video recordings. But also, in order to bring the content to people, you need some kind of a vehicle, I suppose, and developing apps for the iPhone is just one of the, as I can say, experiments to see if that is a way that we can actually connect with people or help them in discovering their faith.
You made a very valid point there. It's not a given today that everybody knows about the faith, the church, or even God. Often in many countries, not only in Ireland, but in many countries in the Western world, the churches are unfortunately emptying, shall we say, and particularly among the young people. If I'm not mistaken, I was reading a little bit about your story. You would be one of these people who, shall we say, came late in life, even though you're still quite young, but found the faith, found God, quite late in life, considering. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, yes. Yeah, that's right. I was only baptized 9 years ago. And initially, when I was brought up, there wasn't much mention of God at all in my life. So I didn't really know about God. And I think that is the situation definitely becoming more and more the situation in a lot of the Western world where people are growing up. The family might not be practicing Catholics or practicing Christians. They might not go to church. And at school, you don't really learn anything about God either. The school where I went, I never learned anything about God. And the only connection I got with reality was to physics, where we were taught that everything was explained by, for example, the Big Bang Theory. So it was only when I was in my early 20s, when I happened, more or less by accident, to come to Ireland to finish my studies, and subsequently kind of stayed here to do further studies and to work, that I came in contact with somebody who challenged me, I suppose, on my unbelief in God. And initially, when we started talking, I thought, like, this is going to be an easy conversation because I'm just going to say that the Big Bang Theory solved everything and that evolution shows how life started. But then when we start to probe a bit deeper into the issues, and I did a bit of reading and we did a good bit of discussing, I discovered that it wasn't as simple as that. And I suppose to make a long story short, there was a moment that I realized that the existence of a God is a much more probable explanation of the existence of everything around us than to believe in nothing. And my friend at that stage said to me, we're not just talking about a God, a kind of a faceless force in the universe, as, for example, even Aristotle, 2,500 years, came up with. But we're talking about a personal God. And if a personal God exists, and you would ask him to show himself or to start this friendship with him, then if it is such a God, then he will. So he advised me to say a few prayers, maybe 5 minutes a day, and to start reading the New Testament, beginning with the Gospels. And he said it might take a few weeks. It wouldn't be an instant revelation mostly, but I must say that I kind of experienced that God was real quite soon after doing that. And I just made everything just kind of started to make sense once I discovered that this God is actually a personal God who you can actually know. And that kind of completely turned my life upside down, I suppose.
Why Ireland?
Well, I suppose at that stage, I was baptized in Ireland, and I received my first Holy Communion and my confirmation in Ireland. But at that stage, I was finishing up my master's. I'm an engineer, and I also had work here. And then I also got a girlfriend after that. So I pretty much was settled in Ireland at that stage. So I just decided to stay here, at least for the time being.
Yeah, but there's a pretty big leap between being baptized, received into the church, baptized and confirmed, settling in Ireland, and then 9 years later, you're a brother in the order of preachers.
Yeah, I guess that is, I suppose it's a story that kind of then develops. Initially, I did stay here because I had work, but I think I also, from the beginning, I always had that feeling of, I want to help others to discover the same, to, I don't want to say rediscover, because for a lot of people it isn't rediscovering, but to discover the reality of God, which is sadly so much forgotten nowadays. And initially I thought it would be by getting married and having a family, maybe being able to do some voluntary work, maybe work for the church or something like that. But I also felt, I think, deep down maybe a call to give myself completely to God. And when the opportunity came, I did have a girlfriend at the time, but when we went on a break, I said to God, well, if it's your will that I give myself fully, by joining religious life, then I am available if that is your will. And God just answered me almost straight away with such an experience of his love that I just knew I had to try it at least and see if this is my calling. And I think since I joined, I'm convinced it is, and I'm still convinced about it because I made my solemn profession last September. I suppose it looks like a big jump, but I think God often leads us in kind of little steps by little steps through our life. And I think this is just one of those things. If I look back, there was a lot of things that happened. Even the fact that I came to Ireland, the fact that I stayed in Ireland wasn't planned either. So it's all little steps. That kind of one follows after the other, and you see only sometimes in hindsight how God's kind of leading you through your life.
So here you are in rainy old Ireland, and you have made a life-changing encounter and then a life-changing decision. I thought it was very interesting the point you made when you said you don't want to help people rediscover God, you want to help them discover God. Pope Benedict has often spoken about what he sees as a hunger in young people today for something more substantial, more spiritually substantial. Do you believe that it's true? Do you recognize this hunger in the young people you meet and speak to, and you yourself being a young man?
Yeah, no, I suppose for, starting in the spirit of modern society, I start with myself. I think I myself always had a feeling of some kind of a, even if I didn't believe in God, if I didn't know about it, and maybe not give it a lot of thought, I think there is in everybody some kind of dimension of realization that there is something more, more to life than what we just see around us. And even I happened to be on a Dutch television not that long ago, and it was with my a group of my classmates of secondary school, and even them, that they wouldn't, was only 3 out of the 18 who would said they would have any sense of religion in their life. But still, they would be interested in kind of why you do it, I think. Even somebody said who has a little child, like, wherever it comes from, if it is a God or whatever you believe in, it is a wonder in itself. And I think everybody kind of wonders at about the gift of life, and maybe specifically parents who have children, about this gift that's one moment there is, I suppose, nothing, and then life starts. Here in Ireland, I find I'm quite involved with a group, U2000, here, and they have youth retreats, some smaller, regional, and there's a big one, of those two big ones, in the summer and in the, around Christmas. And in the summer, there's about 1,200 young people there. And although a lot of the young people who come there don't know much about the faith, they go away with a sense of awe, like, this is really real, something they would never have expected. And that, I suppose, kind of links in with the question of, it's not even rediscovery, because especially the young people, they would never really have had probably this experience or understanding of a God who is so near, who really wants to know us, and who makes a difference in our life. Most of them probably never have heard of that.
Can I bring you back then perhaps to where it all began before we end our conversation with you. It all began really from one person, didn't it? One man or person or woman who challenged you. Was that person your peer?
It was a colleague in the same office as I was working in, yeah.
So it really comes back to the whole idea that we have to be the witnesses, really, don't we? What are your hopes for this Congress, that we can form a generation of Irish Catholics, and not only, but of other Catholics from around the world, who will have the courage to be witnesses to their faith for others in society today, which is not very easy, is it?
No, it isn't. But I think if we, I think from an understanding of virtue, if we meet Christ, if we encounter Christ, as Pope Benedict so often tells us, it's a life-changing event. And even if we might not have the courage, like my friend did, to actually came to me every day to talk with me and argue with me about God. Even if this encounter, if we are people who are close to God, normal people, I would say, working and going about our daily life, people will see it in us because it changes us, and it changes us for the good. I mean, they recognize there is something in our lives that they want as well. I mean, it's very hard to describe, but some people see a certain peace or a certain love or patience, or I suppose it's all the virtues that come to the fore. And I think if we only give the small little hints, people know that we are religious, and even that it might not come up on the coffee break or anything like that, sometimes you then get somebody going up to you on the way out from work and say, oh, would you mind saying a prayer because this and that? I think it's kind of a witness aspect where we can start with. I think that's the kind of the core of being a Christian, that we have to give good example, first of all. Now, if we can do more, that's great, if we can help and talk to people. But I think already the encounter with Christ, if people do really meet Christ, it will change their lives, and that will change society.
It's not a cliche to say that you personally found your faith in Ireland, which many people might find hard to believe today, given a lot of the negative news that is being reported from Ireland regarding the church. But the church in Ireland is a lot more than just the negative news headlines. So how would you encourage people to come to Ireland and be part of the International Eucharistic Congress experience?
Well, I would say it's going to be a great experience to meet other people from all over the world. Last year, I suppose it was the first time I was really involved in a big event, was World Youth Day in Madrid. And I know there's a lot of negativity around, but it doesn't mean that the message of the gospel is less true. I mean, there has been a lot of things have happened, but God is still in the middle of it. And by truly rediscovering God, we will really truly revive society as well. I think we have to realize that, first of all, we have to find Christ in our lives. And the Eucharistic Congress is going to be a great opportunity to meet others, to rediscover God Himself, Christ in the Eucharist, to learn about their faith, and that will be a great experience for our lives, and it's something that we're going to carry with us when we leave Dublin again, when we go back home. It's an experience you don't forget. It's like World Youth Day for me last year. It's an experience I will never forget, and it's an experience that you're always going to carry with us.
My thanks there to Dominican Brother Luke Janssen for sharing his story with us. And if any of you would like to meet and speak with Brother Janssen, all you have to do is come along to the International Eucharistic Congress, taking place in Dublin, Ireland, in just under 1 month's time now, from June 10th to 17th. It promises to be a great experience. Brother Luke will be hosting a workshop at the Youth Space, which is just one of the events of the week-long Congress. All information can be found by visiting the website www.iec2012.ie. I'm Eimear McCarthy.